Psalm 63:6, the psalmist said, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. The psalmist said in Psalm 91, verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10, the Bible says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and the windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetimes. Every child of God that's under the sound of my voice today ought to have a quiet time with the Lord.
A very challenging introduction to the broadcast today. Well, we want to welcome you to the Calvary Baptist Church radio broadcast. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. As the producer of this broadcast, it's my goal every week to find an inspirational and encouraging introduction to the broadcast. And today, you know, the nature of the message that we're going to share with you today is that this is going to be a very challenging message. We're playing a message today entitled Ways to Receive the Word. And I began to think about that. You know, I believe the reason why these things are so challenging in our lives, and the reason, no doubt, why Satan causes these principles to be very difficult to implement into our life is because, no doubt, he knows just how powerful the Word of God is and can be in our life. I'm reminded of what Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And the Word of God is so integral to the Christian life. We can't live a victorious Christian life apart from the Word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12 that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so today we're going to do our best to give you some ways to receive the Word of God. And I hope that you'll receive this Word today and that God will use it specially in your life. As always, we want to take this opportunity to invite you to come and visit us for the services at Calvary Baptist Church. And we are excited about what the Lord is doing, and we'd love for you to come and join us today. This is an exciting day, being the Lord's Day. We love Sundays at Calvary Baptist Church, and we would love for you to come and join us for our services today. We'll begin this morning at 10 o'clock for Sunday school. 11 o'clock, we'll have our worship service. And then tonight at 6 p.m., we'll have a wonderful time of fellowship and encouraging time of worship. And then we'll gather around the Word of God, and our pastor will bring a message. It'll be a wonderful time, and we would love for you to come and visit us. Of course, we invite you to visit our website, cbcuniongrove.com, for more information about our church, including a directions link, a statement of faith, and other items there that will help you to become acquainted with our ministries. We're located at 329 Indian Hill Road in Union Grove, North Carolina. Why don't you plug that into your GPS and find your way to Union Grove and worship with us today. We'd love to have you for the services at Calvary Baptist Church. Well, we're going to play a song now by the West Coast Baptist College entitled Nothing Ever Can, Nothing Ever Will. And then we'll play that challenging message today, a wonderful message entitled Ways to Receive the Word. We hope you're encouraged and blessed by the broadcast today. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Calvary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
Authority, law, or government shall.
Says in Psalm chapter 1 in verse number 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know what? I want to delight in the Word of God. I don't know about y'all, but I thought about this. Before you can delight in the Word, there should be a desire for the Word. Ask your question this morning, church. Do you desire the Word? And don't answer out loud. But do you desire the Word? You know what I believe? I believe we ought to pray that God gives us a desire to spend time in His book. Man, I know how it is. We're busy, probably busier than we should be nowadays. And if we're not very careful, a lot of times this book gets shifted to the back burner, and man, we'll go all day long, and we'll work, and we'll do this, and we'll do that, and we'll come to the end of our day having never spent any time in the Word of God. And if we're going to delight in the Word, then there needs to be a desire for the Word. I thought how sad it is that so many are ignorant of the Word of God today. And well, that's true, isn't it? I mean, they're ignorant of the Word. I thought about the story. The pastor of a local church was concerned about his people, and he just didn't feel like his people were receiving the Word like they should. And he just felt like they were coming up short with their Bible knowledge. And he was becoming concerned about the Sunday school classes and if the Word of God was being taught in the Sunday school classes. And so one day he camped outside of a young boy's Sunday school class, and he let the teacher get started. And all of a sudden, I mean, just listen, without any announcement, man, he just busted through the door and surprised the teacher, surprised the little boys. And he said, all right, boys, let me have your attention. He said, all right, boys, he said, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? And boy, it was quiet. And all those little boys looked back at him with a little sheepish look, you know. And he said, come on, boys. He said, come on, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? And nobody answered. Nobody answered. They were scared to death. He finally looked at one little boy in the class. His name was Jimmy. He said, Jimmy, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? And Jimmy said, preacher, I promise I didn't do it. I promise I didn't. Oh, my soul. The preacher was so upset. He was so upset. He looked over at the Sunday school teacher, and he said, what do you think about that? And the teacher said, well, preacher, he said, Johnny's a good boy. And if Johnny said he didn't knock him down, well, you know what? I believe him. And man, I mean, he just stormed out of the class. He was just flabbergasted. And he went to the deacons of the church, and he said, deacons. And boy, he told them that story. And man, he was just all a huff. And they said, pastor, calm down. We feel like you're making way too much of this. And besides, we've got some money saved. We feel like we can build up whatever's been broken down. Amen. And now, I just told that little story to tell you this. Brother, we are ignorant of the Word of God today. I mean, we really are. We're ignorant of the Word of God. By the way, that's why there are so many issues that are going on in our nation today. I thought about this. That's why we have such an issue with the same-sex deal going on right now. That's why our own president of the United States stands up in front of all of America and says that Romans chapter 1 is an obscure passage of Scripture. And you know why? Ignorance. It's called ignorance. I'm not saying he's dumb. I'm just saying that it's ignorance, brother. It's ignorance of the Word of God. It's why we have over 1.5 million abortions in America every single year, and we can't even get a Congress to agree that they ought to defund Planned Parenthood. And I'm not gonna chase that rabbit, although there's a huge temptation there, an organization that is dissecting the human bodies of little boys and girls and selling their body parts, and yet we have a Congress and a Senate that will not even stand up and defund an organization like that. And I'll tell you why. Because, brother, there is an ignorance of the Word of God today. If people knew the Word of God, things would be different in America today. And so I want to talk to you just a moment about ways that we receive the Word. Ways we receive the Word. Number one, I wrote this down. First of all, we should receive it privately. We should receive it privately. And I've got so many scriptures, and we don't have enough time for you to turn to these. I'll just read them for you, and you can jot them down if you're taking notes. Psalm 63:6, the psalmist said, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. The psalmist said in Psalm 91, verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm reminded of Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10. The Bible says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and the windows being shut, being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now, this is a simple message and simple preaching, but I just came here to tell you this. Every child of God that's under the sound of my voice today ought to have a quiet time with the Lord. Now, that's simple, but it's true. Every single child of God here this morning ought to have a personal quiet time. Oh, you say, preacher, I'm too busy. Brother, if you're too busy to have a quiet time with God, you're right. You're too busy. And you need to trim back your schedule, and you need to start spending time in your Bible and start spending time in prayer. Who was it? Was it John Wesley? And somebody came to him one day and they said, Mr. Wesley, I understand that you rise every day at 4 and you pray from 4 to 6 o'clock every morning. He said, that's exactly right. They said, well, Mr. Wesley, I'll have you know that I'm too busy. I don't have time. I've got too many things going on to pray from 4 to 6. And Mr. Wesley said, I'll have you know, I've got too much going on not to pray from 4 to 6 o'clock every day. Listen, every single day we ought to have a time. Amen. Amen. Where we go in our prayer closet or our place and we walk with God and talk with God and read our Bibles and spend time in prayer. And well, somebody said one time that if every Christian in America would dust off their Bible at the same time, we'd have the biggest dust storm we've ever had in America. And a lot of times we bring it on Sunday and we throw it down on Sunday night and we don't pick it up again until the next Sunday. And I'm telling you, brother, that's why America is in the shape that it's in today. We must get back to our Bibles. We must get back to the Word of God. We must get back to the place of people. Well, preacher, I have great faith in you, and I'll come here, and I'll let you preach, and I'll let you give me the Word, and I want you to do that, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But long before you get here, you ought to have spent time with the God of gods and the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and you ought to have heard from heaven. Hey, we ought to receive the Word privately. Privately. I remember when I was in Bible college, my wife and I packed up our Hertz Penske truck and we moved to Bible college. And man, I began to get under the preaching there. And listen, going to school to be a minister, going to school to be a preacher. And I remember getting under such conviction hearing the preaching. And I thought, Lord, here I am studying to be a preacher, studying to be a pastor, and yet I don't have a consistent walk with Jesus Christ. I remember a preacher preached that day in chapel. I don't even remember who it was. Jesus was preaching. That's who it was. That's why I remember it so well. I don't know who the preacher was, but I remember he was preaching, and I got under conviction. And chapel usually ended about 12, and church education started about 12:10 or 12:15. And that day I skipped class. Maybe I shouldn't have, but I skipped class. Man, I was under such conviction, I couldn't have paid attention anyway. And I went out there to that lake in our college, and I walked around that lake, and I cried, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, here I am. I've come here to study to be a preacher. I'm supposed to be a man of God, but yet I don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't walk with you and talk with you every day, day in and day out, consistently like I should. And I told the Lord that day, I said, Lord, starting from this day on for the rest of my life, by the grace of Almighty God, I'll give you. And I gave the Lord a certain amount of time. And I said, Lord, I'll give you this much time every single day of my life. And God, being my witness, I've tried to hold to that all these years later. And I'm going to tell you what, brother, it was the greatest decision I've ever made. How many times have you been in the book this week? How many times have you cracked it open? How many times have you spent time in the book and let God speak to you? Hey, I'm just saying this, we should receive the Word privately. Privately. How about this? Number two, we should receive it corporately. Take your Bibles this morning, if you will, please, and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and look at verse number 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25. Amen. Hey, and by the way, you don't always have to say amen. That means maybe the Lord's dealing with hearts. I'd rather you get in the Bible than say amen. Hey, amen. That's right, brother. Hey, we need to get in this book. We've got problems in churches and problems in countries and problems in businesses, and we've got major issues, and I'll tell you why. Because we are not in this book. Listen, we're in our checkbook. We're in the bank book. We're in the magazines. We're in the sports section. We're in the Charlotte Observer and all these things. Brother, hang all that stuff and get in the Word of God. Hey, we ought to receive the Word privately. Number two, we ought to receive it corporately. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. And look at verse number 25. The Bible says, not forsaking, and I've got this part underlined, the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What's the Bible saying there? The Bible's saying this, don't lay out of church. I mean, that's just putting it very bluntly and very plainly. But the Bible says that we ought to assemble as a church. And the Bible says when we assemble, we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Hey, parents, can I challenge you this morning about you and your children? Did you know that Jesus Christ was brought up by his parents understanding corporate worship? Would you, again, let's use our Bibles a little bit this morning. Take your Bibles and look at Luke chapter 4 this morning. Luke chapter 4. And you say, Pastor, how should I bring my kids up? And how should I raise my kids? Well, maybe we ought to follow the example of Joseph and Mary and how they brought up the Lord. And Luke chapter 4. And look at verse number 16, if you will. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. The Bible says, and he, talking about Jesus, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Look what it says. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Jesus was brought up understanding corporate worship. And I'm going to tell you what, church, it's a shame in America when we're reaching kids nowadays that have never been in church. I mean, brother, they've not been to a funeral. They've not been to a wedding service. They've definitely not been to a preaching service. And by the way, is it showing? You better know it's showing. I mean, brother, we've got more drunkards in America nowadays and more drug heads and dope heads and junkies and prostitutes than we've ever had in our life. And I'll tell you why. We've forsaken the house of God. And it's time that we had some parents in America that get their low-down, lazy carcass out of bed and get their kids up and get them to the house of God. And can I get an amen right there? Amen. I'll amen myself about that if I have to. I'm telling you, we ought to receive the word corporately. Amen. Listen, did you know there's something about, I thought about it, you know there's something about the family table? And we have forsaken the family table somewhat nowadays. I love the family table. I love just getting around the table and setting the plates and putting the forks and the spoons out and the napkins and just sitting around the table as a family. We don't sit around the table much anymore. We sit around the television. That's what we do. Or the whole time we're eating, we text, or we watch YouTube. Are y'all with me this morning? Man, I sort of feel like I'm on a desert island today. And amen, you know what? It's either right or right, bless God. You know what? And we might as well just, you know what? I've just come to the conclusion I'm probably not ever going to achieve the status of Adrian Rogers or David Jeremiah, so I might as well just tell you like it is. Amen? And I'll just tell you in my own way that I can. I'm telling you, brother, if it's right, it's right. We just ought to preach it like we see it. And I'm telling you, we have forsaken the family table nowadays, and it's showing. We don't know our kids. We don't know our parents. We don't communicate anymore. And I'm telling you what, the family is disintegrating right before our eyes. And I thought about this. You know what? When we gather together on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, you know what that is? That is gathering around the family table. That's family coming together, and we eat together, and we worship together, and we enjoy one another and enjoy fellowship. I'm telling you, it is important that we receive the word corporately. By the way, I thought about this too. You know what? When I was growing up, we had one dinner table. And mama fixed supper one time. And you knew when mama said dinner, you better come. Because mama didn't fix three different meals. And so, buddy, when it was dinner time, and by the way, it didn't matter what was on. It didn't matter whether it was T-bone or pintos. Amen. It didn't matter. If you want to eat, you better show up, brother. And by the way, we did. When it was mealtime, we showed up. And I just want to say, church family, hey, listen, when it's mealtime, man, oh, man, oh, man, don't stay away. Don't miss. Show up. Be at the table. Be ready to eat. Be ready to receive. We receive the word privately. We receive the word corporately. But then there's something else. We should receive it inwardly. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid. Where did he hide it? In my heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Somebody said, know it, stow it, and show it. Know it in your mind, stow it in your heart, and show it to the world. You know what, church? I believe this. We ought to memorize this book as much as we can. Now, some of you out there, your memorizers are not as sharp as they used to be. We ought to spend enough time in it where we memorize it as much as we can. And you listen, we ought to read this book enough where we might not be able to say, well, it's chapter 42, verse 6, but maybe we could say, you know what, I don't remember what chapter it is, but I know this, it's on the right side, and it's on the right side of the page, and it's about three quarters of the way down. Let's see. Yep, there it is. And amen, that's memorizing the Word of God. And we ought to spend time in the Word of God. We ought to receive it privately. We ought to receive it corporately. We ought to receive it inwardly. Listen, you ought to take the Word of God and make sure that you saturate your mind and your heart and your life with it and get it inside of you. We should receive the Word privately. We should receive the Word corporately. We should receive the Word inwardly. Hey, let me help you. We should receive the Word gradually. Take your Bibles this morning, if you will, please. And we're just about done. And look at Isaiah chapter 28 in your Bibles. Isaiah chapter 28. And look at verse number 9. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse number 9. We should receive it privately. We should receive it corporately. We should receive it inwardly. But number 4, we should receive it gradually. Let me help some of you this morning. Isaiah 28, verse number 9. Notice what our Bible says. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Look at verse 10. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line. Look what it says. Here a little, and there a little. Now let me help some of you this morning. Don't expect, when you start reading this book, don't expect to become a Bible scholar overnight. It's not going to happen. But I said that to say this, don't get discouraged. Somebody said this, and I believe they said it wisely. The more you learn, the more you learn. You don't know. And that's true. Man, the more I study this book, the more I realize I got to keep on studying. Because every time I think I've got it figured out, I realize, man, it's inexhaustible and it's unsearchable. And I've got to keep on studying and keep on reading and keep on preaching. And I said that to say this. Listen, don't get discouraged. You say, preacher, and this is what I hear. Preacher, I'd read the Bible, but I just don't get anything out of it like you do. Listen to me. But you've got to receive it gradually. You say, preacher, I read it Monday, but I didn't get anything. Okay, go back Tuesday. You say, well, preacher, I read it Monday, Tuesday, but didn't get anything. All right, go back Wednesday and keep going back and keep going back and keep going back and keep going back. And I'm telling you what, brother, the Lord is able to give you something great from the Word of God.
Well, we hope the broadcast has been a help to you today. And right before we leave the air, can I ask you a question, friend? Are you saved? Are you a Christian, a child of God? Well, one of the main reasons we come on the broadcast is so people can know Christ Jesus as their Savior. Would you realize today the Bible tells us that we're sinners in need of a Savior, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says because of our sin, there's a penalty we have to pay, and that penalty, unfortunately, is death in hell. What a terrible thing that is. But oh, here's what we call the good news of the gospel. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus. And Jesus came, took my sins, your sins, went to the cross. And there on the cross of Calvary, he bore our sins and paid the penalty for our sinful life. They put him in the grave, but 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. It's what we call the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. And he did it all so you and I could be saved. If you're listening today and you've never trusted Christ, would you just say something like this to him? Dear Jesus, I'm so sorry for my sins. I believe you died for me and rose again from the dead. And right now, I invite you into my heart and life. Please, Lord Jesus, save me and take me to heaven when I die. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Hey, listen, good neighbor, if you prayed that prayer today and you really meant business, I hope you'll correspond with us so we can rejoice with you and maybe get you some helpful information. Again, we trust the broadcast has been a blessing to you today. This is Brother Pope for the Calvary Baptist Church. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in today.